Appreciate everyone that's here. And I appreciated very much the prayer that I just heard. I feel like there was a message in that prayer. And I trust that the Lord has left enough for us to be able to bring out a little something this morning to be an encouragement and a blessing. You know, I was thinking, when I'm at home during the course of a day, and it starts getting into the afternoon, I start getting a little hungry. And I don't have to have 20 people come through that front door to sit down to eat with me. When I get hungry, I sit down and eat. We don't have very many here this morning. A lot of people are in different places, not able to be here and so forth. Folks, I'm sure that if you're here, you probably came hungry. And we don't have to have this place crowded in order to eat. We just need the Lord to come down and bless us, don't we? We need Him to inspire hearts with His eternal Word. So, with that said, I pray that the Lord will bless us here today. I'd like to open up with a scripture found in the book of Jonah. Very familiar character in the Bible. First chapter. The very beginning here, I'd like to read a few verses. You pray the Lord will bless. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, Cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. They said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I'm sure that's just a refresher to our minds this morning. As I was thinking upon the burden that the Lord had given us, I've already heard a phrase from football was brought out this morning. Sister Joyce mentioning to us in Sunday school. I have a football term that I want to express to you. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called piling on. In football, when someone is running the ball or someone is going out to catch the ball and the other team, they're trying to tackle them, trying to stop them. And sometimes there's just one guy tackles the man and that's it. Sometimes seems like the whole team comes over and everybody falls on the pile. Especially if the football comes loose. If football comes loose, everybody's trying to get a hold of the football. And in the past years, when I used to watch it, I remember seeing piles of men, one on top of the other, and those fellows weighed 200, 300 pounds on top of each other till the poor fellow underneath was so smothered and so buried under the pile of men that he probably couldn't even really move if he wanted to. It was called piling on. They didn't really need that many guys just to bring down a man. I suppose that you've had the experience, as I have, the devil loves to pile it on. He loves to just pile it on. Seems like one little thing coming along is not enough for him. He's got to keep adding this and adding that until the times come that sometimes you and I've just got to get alone with the Lord and we've got to beg God to rebuke the spirit of depression because the devil keeps piling it on. But you know, the time comes in the football game when the referee comes over and blows the whistle, calls the play dead, and then they start getting everybody off of one another. Kind of comes to the fellow's rescue. I don't intend to try to bring God down to the size of a man or a referee, but I'm glad this morning to know that as you and I face our battles and trials in life, God is there to give reprieve. God is there to bring grace and mercy to help us in our time of need. I'd like to speak this morning just a little bit to the presence of the Lord. I want you to notice in our reading here that when God gave Jonah something to do, the scripture says that he went to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It used that term about three or four times in our reading this morning. I don't know if you caught that. But he made a personal choice. He made a personal decision. When God had given him, now this was a man of God, because God had called him and given him a great commission to go to a very wicked city because God was first going to send his word before he brought destruction. God still does that today. Before he will destroy any soul, he will first be sure that they understand what his word says. He gives every man, woman, and child an opportunity to find him. But old Jonah, he didn't want to do. I don't know if he was afraid. Well, it tells us at the end what some of his thoughts were. But he made a choice to not go to Nineveh, but to go from the presence of the Lord to Tarshish. That's not where God told him to go, is it? From the presence of the Lord. Folks, it is a dangerous thing, is it not, for you and I to be away from the presence of the Lord? Don't we need the Lord's presence here this morning? Don't we need the presence of the Lord every day in our lives? In everything that you and I have to face when the devil's piling it on? When all the sadness and the sorrows and the trials and the tests and all the troubles that we have in life, and it just seems like it kind of piles on and it builds up and it's so weighty and heavy upon us. Don't we need the presence of the Lord? Yes, we do. We need the presence of the Lord. Do you know? So it is with the day that you and I are living in today, that people don't have the protection of God today because they are running from the presence of the Lord. They're running from God. They're running away from His presence. Folks, this is definitely not the only time or even the first time that we read in the Word of God where people would hide from the presence of the Lord. We understand, we read over there in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, where Adam and Eve, when they committed sin, they did evil. They hid. It said, when the Lord come down to meet with them in the cool of the evening, what'd they do? They hid from the presence of the Lord. Folks, it's guilt. It's sin that causes you to go and run and hide from the presence of the Lord. The thing of it is, we ain't fooling anybody but ourselves because we can't really get away from the presence of the Lord. You'll notice that God was still there. Even though He had run away from the presence of the Lord, He still found Him right there in that ship, didn't He? And when they tossed Him off the side, He had a great fish prepared to swallow Him up. God had something in mind for Jonah. But people today are running from the presence of the Lord. And God doesn't force people to follow Him. He doesn't pick people up by the hair of the head or the scuff of the neck and make people do what He wants them to do. We make a choice just like Jonah did. And when we make a choice to go out into the world and take the way of the world, we go away from the presence of the Lord. And I feel so desperate this morning to have the presence of the Lord with me. Jonah got in trouble. Read it again. It said that he, in verse 3, he paid the fare and went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh Lord, help us today. It saddens my heart when I see people struggling with their lives, trying to make things work. Maybe it'll work this way. Maybe it'll work that way. Maybe if I just do that, maybe if I get a better job, maybe if I get a different house, maybe if I do this and I do that. Folks, when you're out from under the presence of God, you're going to struggle no matter what you do, no matter what choice you make. And folks, as we see sin abounding today, we know, we can see, we can feel, can't you feel, that the Lord is withdrawing His presence. We are out from the umbrella of the Spirit of God today as a nation, as a people, as a world, as men today, mankind. We're not under the umbrella of His protection today because He's withdrawing His presence. Folks, that is one step short of hell. When God withdraws His presence. You've heard the term hell on earth. It's one step short of hell. Because it tells us in Thessalonians that He will come seeking vengeance on those that know not God. And it also says that they would be cast from His presence forever and ever. So what Jonah did was very foolish. It was a very foolish thing to do. First of all, it was foolish to think that he could hide from God and run from God. But I'm so glad that God is so merciful, so long-suffering. Folks, I did it. I can't go and tell everybody, you know, I can tell them you shouldn't do it, but I went and did it. I went out into the world. I ran away from the presence of God. But I thank God for His mercy this morning because He followed after me. I didn't have to get in the belly of a big fish, but I tell you what, my life went downhill big time. It went downhill big time because I was away from the presence of the Lord. Think about a man. I'd like for us to look at another fellow over here. And it's found in Genesis. The fourth chapter, is it? Yeah, fourth chapter of Genesis. Let's look at another fellow. I could speak of it, but I'd like for us to read it. Genesis 4 and 14, this is about Cain. We know the story of Cain and Abel. Cain rose up and slayed his brother. And it says in verse 14, the fourth chapter and the 14th verse, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." And the Lord said unto him, "Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark upon him, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from where? From the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, and on the east of Eden. Folks, how can God that created you and I, that give us life and breath, that give us an eternal soul that is going to live to forever in eternity, how can you and I ever be a success away from the very giver of life? We can't do it. We can't be a success. He giveth life and breath and all things to you and I. But here, he said, he went out from the presence of the Lord. And Cain said in the verse 13, he said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." He was driven from the presence of God. And yet he felt, he rose up and he murdered, he killed his brother. And yet he felt the punishment that was greater than he could bear. And he had just killed his brother Cain. And now it seems that he's blaming God for being a little too harsh with him. "You're being a little rough with me. You're driving me from the presence of God." Folks, it's one thing. It's one thing to be from the presence of God in this life. It's another thing to leave this life and still be driven from the presence of God. We need to find God, don't we? We need His presence every hour, every day. We need His presence with us. You ever been in someone's presence that you just felt uncomfortable with? Someone you didn't want to be around? I have. We all have. But I'm thankful this morning how blessed it is to be in the presence of God. Lord, help us today not to do anything that would sacrifice that presence, that would cause Him to withdraw that presence from us. We must be so careful today. You know, he just killed his brother and he's blaming God for being harsh. Folks, do you listen to the rhetoric today? Do you listen to how people talk? God, why does God permit this to happen? Why does God permit that to happen? Just this week, I've talked to several different people, and it seemed like every one of them is telling me about a relative or a friend that has cancer and is dying with cancer. Cancer is running rampant in our country today. It's running rampant. They say, "Well, do you know why?" I know one reason why. I don't know the reasons why, all the reasons why people are getting cancer today. Probably. Now, this isn't Bible, but my thought is it's probably the preservatives that are put in our food that's counteracting in our bodies. But I'll tell you the main reason why sin is abounding and cancer is running rapidly its discourse today, and that's because people are from the presence of God. They're not in God's presence. There's too much in the Holy Scriptures, folks, of blessings upon God's people. I'm not saying that God's people are not going to suffer. I'm not saying God's people are not going to get cancer. But I'm going to say, folks, that when we're under the umbrella of God's protection, when we're in His presence, folks, He is going to take care of us. I don't believe any more than He did the children of Israel. I don't believe that He intends to have a church today that's puny and sickly and people that are going around with bad health everywhere. I don't believe that's God's desire for His people. That's not His desire for His people. So there's benefits that you and I have when we're in the presence of the Lord, folks. This man kind of blaming God. This is more than I can bear. People, I see that with people today. Why does God permit this? Why does God permit that? Did you hear the news this past week? One of the fellows was talking about what happened on the news, on the radio, and he says, how in the world? Here's a man out there who says, how in the world can something like this happen? A little, what, 7-year-old girl swinging on the swing set at school, and a man walked up behind her and stabbed her. The last I heard, she's in critical condition on the playground of a school, swinging on a swing. Folks, you talk about cancer. People today are away from the presence. You don't do those things when you're in the presence of God. You don't do those things when you have His conviction upon your heart. You don't do those things when you have the fear of God upon your heart. You don't do those things, folks. All kinds of bad things happen when we're away from the presence of God. When we're out of His presence. When we're out of His presence, we're out of His will. We're out of His purpose for us. We're not doing what He intended for us to do when we don't have the presence of God. Oh, but I'll try anything but the Lord. I'll try anything. I'll take pills. I'll go to psychiatrists. I'll try anything I can try except God. I'm going to do it my way regardless of how it comes out. Folks, there's a lot of folks that have done it their way. Elvis Presley, Frank Sinatra sang the song, I Did It My Way. Look how their lives ended up. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, isn't it? But the end of that man, folks, is destruction. It's destruction. Lord, help us today. Jonah made a terrible decision to go away from the presence of the Lord. And I want the Lord to help you and I as people of God. That what God has for you to do, don't run away in fear. If God gives you something to do, He will give you the grace to do it. He will give you the strength to do it. He will give you the wisdom to do it if He has something for you to do. You say, well, God will never send me to a big city like Nineveh to go and preach there. He may not do that, but I guarantee you He has something for you to do. Be sure to stay in His presence. Be sure to make wise choice, folks. Keep the fear of God upon your heart. You know, sometimes I look at what Jonah did and it comes to my mind, what was he thinking? Did he really think it through? You know what I think? I think that the devil come along and took advantage of him, don't you? That he would do something so foolish as to deny what God had told him to do? Thought that he was going to run away from his duty? He was going to run away from God. It said he left the presence of the Lord. Folks, I don't know of anything more dangerous for you and I than to leave the presence of the Lord. We got to have it. We got to have it. And you know what? It's up to you and I to be sure that we do what we must do to keep that, to guard that, to protect that part of our relationship with God, that we always have His presence with us. You know, when we talk about being in someone's presence, we've got to be very careful who we take on as friends. We got to be careful who we surround ourselves with. We do. It's not that people are bad. I never blame the people, but I blame the sin. I blame what the enemy is doing with them. But we got to protect ourselves. You know, a wise man, a president, for instance, of the United States, he doesn't know all the answers. One man never knows all the answers. He can't deal with the domestic affairs of this country and the world affairs and all the other things and the military and all the things that are going on. He's not smart enough to deal with it, but he can put wise men around him. He can put good advisors around him that will help lead him down the right and proper path. Of course, the best thing to do is to seek God, isn't it? To seek God for direction in our lives. Let's turn to Psalms, the book of Psalms, 51st chapter. You've all heard these scriptures before. This is David, King David. He was once in the presence of the Lord. God put His approval and favor upon him and anointed him, had him anointed to be king of Israel, didn't he? He was God's man. He was God's man. Then we know the story how he went out there and he took another man's wife, Bathsheba. And he took her unto himself, laid with her, had her husband sent out to die in the military, in a battle somewhere. David did an awful thing, didn't he? You know what happened to David? He lost the presence of the Lord. That's what happened to David. Here's where we read about him losing the presence of the Lord. What does it say? Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Do you know when I was out in sin and I realized the guilt and the wrong that I was doing, the only thing that I could plead to come back to God was, Lord, have mercy on me. That's all I could plead. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, we need mercy on this nation. We need mercy on our children. We need you to some way, somehow, if it means bringing them down to death, folks, as long as they get saved before they leave here, it'll be worth it all. That's what it's about. Of course, young people today, they think they're going to live a long time. They think that they got a lot of life left. Do things the way they want to do. What about that 7-year-old girl? Sat right here in Springfield, or close to Springfield, swinging on a swing set, whole life before, and a man walks up behind her. They haven't given a reason. They haven't found the man that I've heard yet. He just walked up behind. What made him do that? The devil did, didn't he? Sin did. Made him take this little girl's. Of course, I don't know if she's dead yet or not, but she's in critical condition. Foolish. Foolish things that people do today because they don't know the presence of God. They don't have the fear of God upon their hearts. They don't appreciate life and how valuable that it really is. They'll take your life, road rage, all the other kind of rages that are out there. Life means nothing. People here in Springfield sitting on their front porches and someone driving by shooting and killing them sitting right there. For no apparent reason. Probably drugs. Probably drugs. People high on these kind of things. You know what a young man told me a week and a half ago? He said he has a friend on the Springfield Police Department. He said, he told him, he says, you can go down here to South Springfield and every two houses you can buy marijuana along some of those streets. And he said, you know what they're doing? You know, we have a cocaine outbreak here in Springfield. He said, you know what they're doing? He said, when someone comes and buys a few ounces of marijuana, they give them a hit of heroin. Let's give it to them. Because they say that once you take that, you're hooked. One time. So they give them a hit of heroin. And these poor, unsuspecting souls came to get a little marijuana, to get high, to feel good, to get away from their problems for a while, whatever it is that people are trying to escape today. And the devil comes along and said, here's a quarter ounce, whatever it takes, of heroin. Try this. And people get hooked on it. The devil's hooking people, folks. You see what's happening to America because we're away from the presence of God? Don't tell, you'll never convince me that God's presence is still with this nation. I don't ask God to bless America. I ask God to have mercy on America. But I'll tell you one thing. America better wake up. She better wake up. Our children better wake up. Because when we don't have the presence of the Lord with us, folks, we're in big time trouble. We're in big time trouble. David, he once had the presence of the Lord. And because he did what he did, folks, I'm convinced he lost the presence of the Lord. And he cried out, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your loving kindness." Oh, I'm pleading on your mercy now. I'm pleading on your love. Your loving kindness. "According unto the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." What else can you do? When I found myself in sin, when I went to the altar that night 30 years ago, I can say 30 years ago, it'll be November 30 years ago. When I went to the altar that night, I took such a load of trash and garbage and sin down there. What else can I say, Lord? Blot them out. Have mercy. Do you know this old body wasn't made to carry guilt? It wasn't made to carry guilt. And you know what? As I look upon the world today and society around us, I'm getting pretty much convinced that people don't carry guilt anymore. It's hard to convince someone of sin whenever they feel like what they're doing is okay. When they're not being honest with themselves. And when they're not being honest with God. How does the Spirit convict when someone's not being honest? You know, I've told this story. My brother that I grew up with, when we lived on the farm, he was about 9 years older than me, so he had to do more farm chores than I did. I was only about 7 or 8 when we moved. They had to go out. Dad had milk cows. And he had to go out one time. Dad said, "I got to get to work." Or Dad had something to do. He says, "I want you to go out and milk cows." We had a 150-acre farm. And I can still see that big barn that we had. And that big field behind the barn. And the cows out there in the field eating during the day. Eating grass and stuff. And then come in and eat the hay and the corn at night. I can still see that picture in my mind. And my brother went out there, and I'm getting ahead of myself. When Dad would go out there, he'd just go out there and rattle a bucket with some corn in it. And them cows would see that, and here they come. They'd come running right up, go right on into the barn. They'd get in the barn and get in their stalls and get ready to be milked. That's all Dad had to do. Just rattle the bucket, and here they come. Charles went out there. Had the cows in the barn. Did the same thing Dad did. Here they come. He's milking one of the cows. And he said, he had the bucket about half full. And the cow just stepped back and put his foot in the bucket. Turned it over and milk went everywhere. He said, "I took my fist and hauled off and hit it right in the stomach. Right in the belly." Next day, Dad went out to milk the cows. He's out there rattling the bucket. The cows look at him and they stayed right where they were. They wouldn't come. He went to my brother And he said, Charles, he said, the cows aren't responding like they always do. He said, did something happen yesterday when I sent you out to milk the cows? And I remember him saying, Larry, it wouldn't have done me any good to deny it. He said, I had G-U-I-L-T written right across my forehead, and Dad could read it. He knew I was guilty of something. He didn't know what I did, but he knew I'd done something. And he had to fess up and tell Dad what he had done. Folks, sin is that away. Sin causes you to do things that you ought not to do. And guilt is when the Lord comes along and He convinces you. The Spirit is trying to convict you and show you that you need to get rid of that. You need to change that life. You need to get rid of it. You need to get help. He said, I had G-U-I-L-T written right across my forehead. I was just as guilty as charged. And Dad knew it. And the cows wouldn't come. Folks, when we keep hitting God in the belly, when we keep saying we're going to do it our way, and we don't need you, God, is He going to keep coming just because we go out and rattle the bucket? There does come a time and a place in everyone's life that they can cross the line. The song says there's a line that is crossed by rejecting the Lord, doesn't it? And once you cross the line, He's got a line laid out there, and you cross that line and go beyond it. You get into the hard drugs. And you go around on playgrounds stabbing little girls, swinging on a swing, and doing other awful, terrible things that are happening today in our society. Folks, you can't keep punching God in the belly and expect His presence to be there. It's not going to be there. God has feelings. You know that? He has feelings. He created man, gave him the best that he had. Gave man the best that he had. And yet man has thrown it away. And we're throwing it away big time today. And yet people are saying, well, I'm praying for you. Well, I'm asking God. I heard someone say, well, I know I'm not living right, but I pray to God every day and ask Him to forgive me. Tomorrow I'll ask Him to forgive me again, but I'm going to keep right on living the way I'm living. You know, they're not fooling anybody but themselves. Jonah wasn't fooling anybody but himself. He ran away from the presence of God, and God followed after him. And that's why we're praying it, isn't saints? That's why we're praying that God will follow after our children. That God will have mercy on souls. Brother Rick gave an exhortation Wednesday night about how we need to be praying and caring for lost souls. We're asking God for mercy, folks. But old David, he got himself in trouble. You know, when he got in trouble, he didn't pray for anybody but himself. He only prayed for himself. Have mercy on me. I'm the guy that's in trouble. Have mercy on me, Lord. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know God will do that. God restored him because He came to him in a humble way, admitted his sin and his transgression and what he had done before God, and God had mercy on him. But I wanted to get on down to the 11th verse. He said, cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Folks, the Spirit of God, I believe this is true. This is what I believe in my heart. The Spirit of God has been aggrieved. It's been abused. It's been rejected. So many times that it is not with people anymore. Remove not thy Holy Spirit from me, he said. Cast me not away from thy presence. David David experienced something there for a time. He knew what it felt like to be away from the presence of the Lord. Oh, yes, he did. He knew what it felt like when he didn't have the Lord there with him. Folks, we probably know what it feels like too, don't we? When the Spirit of the Lord is not there with us to bless us, to help us, to heal our spirit, and to work in our lives. We know what it's like. And then we look upon our children. Oh, the Lord gave me a burden for grown saints, grown children. I got them, three of them in their 40s and one mighty close to 40. And as I watch how they live their lives, it's like the Lord told Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the prick. They just keep kicking. They just keep trying to do it their way without God. Folks, we can't do it without God. I don't care who you are. We cannot do it without God. And he begged the Lord, cast me not away from your presence. Please, and I'm putting that in there as an emphasis, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We need God's Spirit today, don't we? Have you ever done something you knew that was wrong and you were ashamed of? What do you do with it? Well, the Bible, if you do it the Bible way, you have an open and a penitent heart, don't you? And you come into the presence of God and beg Him to come down and do something for your soul. Do something for your wrongdoing. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. I found out that when His presence comes in, it makes a big difference in how I feel. Just how I feel. It makes a big difference. Just how I feel inside. How I feel about myself. How I see other things. It makes a big difference. You know, people are losing self-esteem. It kind of gives you some self-esteem to know that God is there. His presence is there to help you, to sustain you and strengthen you. And then when He does come in, you feel safe. And more importantly, you feel forgiven. You know what it's like to feel forgiven? Oh, folks, I haven't forgotten what it was like to feel guilty. Maybe I don't want the Lord to let me forget what it's like to feel guilty. But oh, it's so wonderful to feel forgiven, to know that He forgives you and that He receives you. I have some more scripture here, so I need to move on. I'd like to turn to the book of Job, the 23rd chapter. Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat. I would order my cause before Him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which He would answer me and understand what He would say unto me. Will He plead against me with His great power? No. But He would put strength in me. Job was looking for Him, wasn't he? Because he knew what He would do for him. There the righteous might dispute with Him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, this is quite a scripture, isn't it? Behold, I go forward. He's not there. You ever been there? Backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot see Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, but I cannot see Him. Folks, sometimes, even on our walk with the Lord, He will withdraw His presence to the point of testing or challenging our faith. Are you still going to love me? Are you still going to trust me? Are you still going to walk faithfully and true? Job was in a hard place. You know what happened in his life and all the things that God permitted the devil to do to him. Take away his children and the boils and all those kind of things. You know that. And he got to a place where he began to question life. You ever question life? You know, lately I've been reading some scriptures and I've been saying, Lord, you know, what am I really doing here? What's the purpose of it all? It seems like it's so futile. Please allow me to bring my a few of my little thoughts here. It seems so futile. The writer said that it was vanity and vexation of spirit. We do all the things that we do that we feel like they're so important. I must do them. I got to get them done. And then all of a sudden breath leaves us and we're in the grave and it's all over. See how fleeting life is? Vanity, vexation of spirit. Lord, why am I here? Why are we doing what we're doing? But I believe God wants every one of us to make a difference in someone else's life. Not just ours, but someone else's life. He wants you to make a difference. And yet you're going to come to places, no matter how spiritual that you are, no matter how high up on the mountain that you can get, you will come to places that I've looked for Him in front of me and behind me and on both sides and cannot find Him. Folks, it's a test. Hold on. When you can't feel His presence, hold on and be faithful. Oh, my dad said he came home from work one night, went down in the basement, knelt down and prayed, and he said the Lord come down and blessed him so greatly. The next day he couldn't wait to get home. He went down and he said, I kneeled in the very same place. And I prayed and I didn't get the blessing that I got the day before. What are you going to do? You going to quit? You going to give up? Well, what have I done wrong? You start questioning this and that and the other. Folks, the Lord wants to see that you and I can walk on our own two feet. But His presence isn't withdrawn too far. I want you to be encouraged. He's there. He's there. He'll help you if you fall. If you trip and fall, He'll pick you up. He will. And old Job, in the hard place that he was in, he couldn't feel the presence of God. It was very hard on him, as it is on you and I. But he said in verse 10, He knoweth the way that I take. Oh, saints, live a holy, godly life. Be faithful, be persistent in your duties for the Lord. In everything that you do, be persistent and be faithful. Because when that time comes and we say, Lord, I don't know where you are. I don't feel your presence, but Lord, you know my heart. You know I love you. He said here, He knows the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, He knew it was a trial, didn't He? It was a trial. He said, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job even knew what he was going to look like when he come out of the trial. God's wanting gold, saints. We are in a persecuting, persevering time. Now let's get our chins up and let's get our fighting gloves on, if I can say it that way. Because we got an enemy to fight. And when he piles on, and it seems like he piled on Job. He lost his children one day, lost his animals one day, and he got sick another day with boils. And it just keeps piling on. And you look for him in the front and behind and left and right. You can't find him anywhere. So you've got to have a testimony in your heart. You've got to have something you can bring before the Lord, an offering, and say, Lord, you know the way that I take. You know that I love you. You know I love the truth. You know I'm not going to give up. Now I need you to come down and bless me. The Lord will do that. The Lord will do that, folks. My foot held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Folks, I can read this with passion because I've been there. Because I've been tested. Because I've been there. And most of God's people, if you've been His people very long, you've been there. We can say this and read this with passion. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Lord, I'm not going anywhere. You've got me on Your hands until You take me out of this world. And then I want to live in Your presence forever. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere, Lord. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. Boy, what a testimony. You want a testimony like that? God help us to have a testimony like that. In the midst, folks, we're living in a more evil day than Job lived in. Because it's a greater magnitude because of more people. It's grown. And it's growing today. Sin abounding on every hand. Jordan overflowing its banks. You and I've got to contend with the horses. We got to contend with it. We got to contend with this day. The only way you're going to get out of not contending for the truth in this day and contending against the evil that has come upon us today is for God to take you out of this world and on to your eternal reward. I've esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. But He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? What His soul desireth, even that He doeth, for He performeth the thing. Listen, saints. Job got a hold of it. Let's us get a hold of it. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with Him. Aren't you firmly convinced that God knows what it's going to take to get you to glory? He knows what it's going to take to get each and every one of us. He's fitted our salvation for us. He knows your weaknesses. He knows how to test you and where. He knows just how to work with us. But His final purpose is what? To get us to glory, isn't it? It's not His will that any perish, but that all men should come to repentance. That's what He said. That's what His Word says. Oh, folks. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Job just accepted it. I can't find Him right now. I don't know where His presence is. But He knows the way that I take. Folks, by the grace of God, the help of the Lord, I'll never give up what God has given me. I'll never give up the truth, and I'll never forsake God as long as I live. With the prayers of the saints and the grace and mercy of the good Lord, that is my desire, intention, and purpose for living here, life in this world, that I might be able to see Him face to face with peace and joy. He said, therefore am I troubled. I might as well finish it at His presence. When I consider, I am afraid of Him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath He covered the darkness from my face. Oh, I tell you, God gave me a very, very hard trial one time. Very hard trial. Then I said, Lord, what do You have for me? What is this all about? And folks, just as sure as I'm standing here, He said, He gave me that verse, God maketh my heart soft. And I thought, Lord, I thought I had a soft heart. But I tell You, He knows how to soften it even more. He knows how to tenderize, folks. He knows just what it's going to take to help you and I to be faithful till the Lord calls us home. For the sake of time, I'm not going to turn over to it. But I want to tell you about, it's in Exodus, the 33rd chapter, verses 13 through 18. Remember when Moses came to the Lord and he'd had about all that he could handle as a man. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, these are your people. These are your people. And you've asked me to take them over through the wilderness to Jordan, into the land of promise. But he says, and give me the license to paraphrase here, I can't do this anymore. I've got to know that if you want me to do this, that your presence will go with me. Saints, I want you to be encouraged this morning. His presence will go with you. Remember that little song they came out of Miami, is where I heard it sung a lot, about little David? Little David said to the fighting men of Israel, he said, the battle's not ours, but it's God. If you're going through a hard place right now, if you're going through some difficult, if the devil's piling on, I want to tell you, I want to remind you, that the battle is not ours. Give it to God. You can't handle it. It's too big for you. I know what I'm talking about, saints. Been there, done that. It's too big for you. Don't try to handle it. Give it to Him. The battle's not yours. Give it to God. But I'll tell you one thing, if you try to fight the battle yourself, you're going to lose. You'll probably learn some hard, valuable lessons, but you're going to lose. Why? Because like Moses, we need to know that His presence is going to go with us. And that's where the Lord told him, He said, I'll put you in the cleft, didn't He? I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And My glory will pass by. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that a blessing, folks? To know that God can put us in a place and encourage us to know that His glory will pass by. Don't we need that? We need it. We need it. And sometimes I feel like we've got to fight harder and harder and harder to get it. Today, because of all the evil around us, we got to press through the darkness of this world. We got to press through it, folks, in order to get the presence of God, to have the presence of God with us. I'm going to leave you with one last verse of Scripture, and it's in 16th chapter of Psalms, and the 11th verse. And I want you to rejoice in this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. And I want you to know as you go forth from here, in God's presence is fullness of joy. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be at peace. He wants you to be satisfied from drinking of this fountain of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. Oh, when I found that verse, I got a little joyful myself. In His presence, folks, is fullness of joy. Let's live, stay in the presence of God. Do something. We don't want to do something foolish like Jonah did. Try to go and hide from His presence. Adam and Eve did it. Didn't work. All it does is make us miserable. In the presence of the Lord, there is joy. What do you think it's going to be like when we get into His presence? on the other side. You think those folks ain't experiencing joy today? Peace? Happiness? Maybe even relief? I don't know if they can feel that feeling of relief or not, knowing that they made it. No more devil, no more trials, no more piling on. In the presence of the Lord, there's joy. That's what I'm fighting for. Pray for me that I'll be faithful to that end.